Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Good morning, everybody. It's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, and I'm pretty happy right now because I have Jimmy Hughes sitting about 6 feet from me. Jimmy, how you doing, man?
Great. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing good. Thank you, by the way, for the Reese's Sticks. He listened yesterday, found out my favorite candy is Reese's Sticks, and I've got a king-size one right here. Jimmy, you can bribe the radio guy. That does work.
Whatever works.
Before we go any further on this, by the way, Jimmy is running for mayor. He and Michelle Randall are the two candidates running for mayor. You should have your ballot in your hand right now, or maybe you already turned it in. Hopefully you didn't yet. Hopefully you said, wait, I want to hear Jimmy and Michelle, and I want to hear Jamie and Greg and Natalie and Michelle tomorrow as well. And maybe hear from you guys personally, because one of the things that bugs me, Jimmy, is people that, oh, that's a nice name. I think I'll click that. Yeah. They don't do any kind of vetting or research. So I really appreciate you coming so we can learn a little bit about Jimmy Hughes.
Well, no, and thank you, Andy, for doing this. It's like we were talking about before, getting information out is harder in this day and age. You know, how we get information to people is hard. So you doing this is very helpful, and I appreciate that. And by the way, just so we don't forget, after your show tomorrow, mm-hmm. we need people to get those ballots in, because this year, yeah. you've probably talked about this on your show, different than years past, those ballots have to be in on November 4th by 8 o'clock or they will not count. Postmark does not count. At this point, do not mail your ballot. Drop it off.
And there was that, you know, that controversy where it goes to Las Vegas or whatever, and I postmarked it, but it didn't get here for 40. Just don't even worry about all that. Turn your ballot in on November 4th.
100%.
Take it to one of the drop boxes.
Yep.
So,
yep.
All right, first thing I got to ask you, Jimmy, J-I-M-M-I-E, what happened? Why is your name? It's like plural. We need an S, the Jimmys. What's going on with that?
Yeah, everybody spells that wrong. That name comes from my father, who, there's the university did a story called My Father's Highway, a documentary on the road through the gorge, and that tells the story of my family. My father was killed in the gorge during that construction.
Really?
About a little over a month before I was born. So my mother had 9 children and me on the way when he was killed back in 1970. So that dates me.
Wow.
And I was born and my mother had no choice. Everybody said, we know his name. And that was my father's name. So I had no choice. J-I-M-M-I-E. That's how it is.
Pretty cool. That's a great story. Yeah. Is when an idiot radio guy asked about it. Now you have a great answer for it.
Yeah.
Did you say you were born in 70?
Yeah, at the very end of 1970. So don't make me too old.
You have kind of the, who was the guy? Oh, Dick Clark. You have kind of the Dick Clark. You can look way younger than that, Jimmy.
Hopefully I age that well. So.
All right. So you, did you say you were kid number 10?
Number 10. And my mother always said, you know, you were only the last one because he was killed. So you know, who knows? But, number
20 10. Of them,
yeah.
Huh?
So, and all my brothers and sisters are here in the Southern Utah area. So it's a great family atmosphere here.
Now, you said, did you leave town for a while and come back? Is that what happened?
Yeah, so after I served an LDS mission to Brazil, I got a job with a Fortune 500 company and moved to Los Angeles.
Okay.
I worked right downtown in several areas close to the airport, all over downtown for a large corporation. I made my way to Salt Lake where I met my wife. And then finally got home about 21, 22 years ago. We made our way back home. I came home to purchase the family ranch and to make our life here and raise our kids here. So
nice. Well, if I were to now say, we know Jimmy the man, but what about Jimmy the political candidate? What would be, I mean, is there a platform? Is there something you run on as we head into this mayoral election?
Absolutely. Couple of things I've been talking about and the differences between myself and the mayor are the things about management. First of all, it's my management style. I think I'm just a little bit different. I focus on team building, collaboration, respect. Those are the kind of things that we want to do, and we need to listen. As we were talking about earlier, getting the information out, sometimes people don't feel like they're being listened to. We need to do a better job of that, making sure that listening just isn't a requirement, but it's a priority. We want to hear what people are saying and take that message and put it into play.
Is it hard to sort of, sometimes the loudest voices are the ones that are in the major minority. I don't know if that's an oxymoron there, but sometimes the loudest voices are people who really, you know, their complaint is very specific to them. How do you sort through that and find the real issues that the majority cares about as a political figure?
Yeah, sometimes that can be difficult, Andy, but what we have to do is not be sucked into mob rule, because that's one thing you learn early on. There are a lot of loud voices, and when we talk about democracy, you know, it's not about mob rule. So you have to step back. You know that rule, count to 10. Sometimes you have to let the dust settle and then go out and ask questions. Again, that listening exercise, and ask questions and try to find the real answers versus just making a knee-jerk reaction based on some loud voices. So sometimes the loud voices might be the majority, sometimes not, and sometimes the solution is something much quieter. So
the growth in St. George, Jimmy, has been almost astronomical over the last few years, especially since COVID, but it was growing before that, didn't make no mistake. With growth, of course, a lot of concerns, especially with water. First of all, are you pro-growth? And second of all, what do you say to people who, they ought to slam the door, not let anybody else come in? Because I know you've heard that.
Right. Yeah, so when I graduated from Dixie High School, I thought I lived in a pretty idyllic community. Maybe that's when we should have shut the door. And I've been talking about that for years.
I wouldn't be here, by the way, if you did.
Right. So see, and that's what we say. I'll take a room of people that have that same concern and say, raise your hand if you moved here in the last 10 years. And then I do this exercise of when should we have closed the door. So when we talk about growth and pro-growth, you know, yes, it's hard for me, like everyone else, to see the changes in the places that I used to play when I was a kid. I used to ride my bike, you know, all over town, and my mother didn't care where we were. It's hard for me as well, but growth also is what provided the opportunity for me to return here. You know, we talked about my story of California, Salt Lake. Because of the economic opportunity that was here, I was able to come back. My family and my children, I have five children with my wife, Tawny, and they're able to stay here, and the economic growth is providing jobs for them as well, so they can stay here. So there's the plus side of it. The key is how we manage that and taking the long view of saying, what do we want to be when we grow up? And if we can stick to that, then we'll still maintain those characteristics, those values, and those things that make this a great place to live.
By the way, I moved here in 1994, but and St. George was roughly the size of what Washington City is now, but you look at St. George, it's triple that in the last 31 years I've been here. So, all right, let's talk traffic a little bit. I went to high school in Salt Lake, and it was, I think, similar traffic-wise to what St. George is now. But if you go to Salt Lake now, I mean, I hear people all the time, Jimmy, complaining about traffic in St. George. I'm like, have you driven on Redwood or State lately in Salt Lake? Because this is nothing compared to that. But talk about traffic and congestion, and then maybe end it with talking a little bit about the Northern Corridor.
So to make it sound a little better, you know, I talked about California. I lived in a place called Altadena where the fires were. Mm-hmm. And then I would travel to right next to the airport, LAX, every day. We do not understand what traffic's like.
No, we don't.
That being said, even I lately go out on the road and say, my goodness, where did all these people come from? So traffic is a concern. It's one of the priorities that we need to take care of. The Northern Corridor is one of those pieces that we have to have done. Unfortunately, it seems like ever since I've been in office, that we've been talking about this Northern Corridor because of different government restrictions and regulations and bureaucratic decisions. We are still sitting in a spot where it's not done. It's very frustrating to me. And virtually every elected official that you talk with understands the necessity of that road and that the agreement was made prior to the reserve and that just needs to be done. The more we grow and the more people are getting close to that reserve, the more pushback we're getting. That's why we wanted to get that in beforehand and do it sooner so we could eliminate some of those conflicts. So in my opinion, it needs to be done yesterday. So
I'm with you on that one. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that live over there where over in Washington, Green Spring area, they're like, hey, you can't build that here. Well, it's been on the books for how long now?
Yeah, like decades. I say, if we'd have done that before those houses all got in, we would have been better. So,
all right, I wanted to talk about housing affordability a little bit. I have five kids as well, Jimmy. One of them lives here. The rest have had to go to Salt Lake. But it's interesting because my opinion is a little bit different on this. They went because the wages were better up there. The housing actually was about the same there as it is here, maybe even slightly more. But they went because they couldn't afford to stay here job-wise. My one son, who drives truck, is making like one-third more there than he would for working for a trucking company here. So what's your opinion on the whole housing affordability and job and wage prices and stuff? And is there anything the mayor could do about it?
Well, this is a tricky one, Andy, because the reality is the biggest factor is always going to be that economic principle of supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
And with so many people wanting to be here and the demand being so high, that's the overwhelming issue that we have. So are there things that we can do to mitigate that? They're going to be really nibbling. To be honest, they're going to be nibbling around the edges. But there are a few things that we can do to keep those costs down. We can't make housing more affordable by making home ownership more expensive. That's not me that came up with that, but that I heard that, and it makes total sense, because as politicians, if we're doing things like making it too expensive to build, raising property taxes, which is a big issue of mine, we don't need to raise property taxes to get the services we need. Those are direct cost increases to housing. I mean, they're a direct impact on the cost of the housing. Now, is it the major impact? No, but those are things that we can do as elected officials to keep that cost down and to help a little bit in that housing crunch that we have. But in the end, it's going to be meeting that demand that we have with enough supply or some change in the market that's going to make that big change.
All right. I wanted to ask, I'm going to say two words, and I want to kind of see your reaction and how you feel about this. The two words are Dixie spirit. What does that mean to you, Jimmy?
Well, that to me is why people, in the reality, why so many people want to come here. I mean, yeah, we have great weather. We have beautiful scenery and all that. But there's a lot of places that have that. There's some beautiful beach towns. There's a lot of places. But what people really do when they come here, they have all of that, and then they also go, and it just, the people here are friendly. There's just something here. And to me, that's what we call the Dixie spirit. It's that community spirit where we say sometimes, you know, we'll go help our neighbor versus doing something for ourselves. So it's putting our community in front of some of our own desires. It's saying, hey, when my neighbor needs something, or I see a need in the community, I step up and fulfill that. The volunteer spirit, that's the Dixie spirit. That's what we want to try to preserve here. That's part of our heritage, our values. Those are the things that are important to people like me as someone who grew up here, who's a St. George kid, that we want to still maintain that even with the growth that we have. That's challenging, but I believe it's doable.
How do we get the newcomers? And by newcomers, I mean people that have maybe only been here a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, to feel that unselfishness, that Dixie spirit. Have you figured out a way to maybe get them to catch the Dixie spirit?
First and foremost, you've got to talk to them. You've got to talk to them and listen to them. And what you're going to find, and what I've found, is a lot of those people are coming here from elsewhere because they lost that where they are.
Mm.
So when we talk, we have this negative connotation about Californians sometimes. Talk to a lot of those Californians. They feel a little bit, you know, apprehensive about jumping in. But when you invite them to come to our community events and come and be a part of the Dixie spirit, they do that. Someone you know and I know that I think kind of exemplifies this is Jimmy Keston. He's not part of the majority religion. He's a newcomer, but he's kind of immersed himself and said, hey, this is just how it is here, and I love it.
Yeah.
And he fits in, and he's done that. So that's one of those people that does that, and I can think of a lot of others. I've talked to a lot of people from Ohio, other places that are coming here. They're coming here because they feel that when they come. It's not just the beauty. They feel that Dixie spirit. We've got to talk to them. We've got to welcome them, and then we've got to have those conversations and say, this is why it's this way. And they buy in. I really believe it. They'll buy in.
You know, what's funny is I came to St. George for a job in 1994, a long time ago. I didn't know anything about Dixie spirit. I didn't know what it was. I'd never heard of it. I didn't know anything about it. But before I moved here, I remember getting this, because we had visited St. George a few times, I'm getting this feeling like there's something different about this place.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. You can't put a finger on any, even saying Dixie spirit, that doesn't really do justice to what we're talking about. Yeah. But yeah, there is something different about this place, isn't there?
100%. It is hard. You are exactly right. It's hard to put the actual words to what it is, but it definitely is. And once you've gone out and lived somewhere else, or you're coming from somewhere else, you do feel it. You may not be able to explain it, but that's what it is, and we want to maintain that.
St. George has been known to have some pretty cool events. For a long time, we had the Ironman. Of course, we have the St. George Marathon every year. The Huntsman World Senior Games are here. We have that great Tubacon out there. You know, that's not in St. George, but it brings people to St. George. So tourism, obviously, is a big part of what St. George is. It feels like sometimes, though, it can be overwhelming. You know, when you know, you're shutting roads down or at least altering things, it can be overwhelming to some of the local residents. What is your opinion on some of these big, giant events and what it does to the city or for the city?
Yeah, that's a good lead-in, Andy, because that kind of goes back to that Dixie spirit. Some of these events that we do that I call legacy events are community gathering events. They provide opportunities to volunteer. They provide opportunities for us to gather as a community. Yeah. Things like the rodeo and those kind of things are things that you may not be fans of those specific events, but the gathering part is important. Now, are there some issues with that? Has there been some fatigue? You talk about Iron Man. That's one of those that we said, hey, let's take a step back. This may be a little much. We heard the complaints from the community and really from our own staffing and everything else, all the people that are participating, it became a little much. We need to step back and take a break. So while those bring some economic benefit, we need to find places that we can or events that maybe don't have as much of an economic or have a good economic impact but not as much of an impact on the community, and we're looking for those. Maybe the PGA is one of those. Those are all events that we hope will be lower impact, high economic return.
Okay, we're off script here. I got to ask you about pickleball. Are you a pickleball guy, Jimmy? Do you play?
I play a little bit in the backyard, but I am, you know, by no means am I one that can go out there and say I know what my, what is it, 4-5 or 4 or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
No, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
a one.
That,
I'm
yeah.
a one. No, but I think the, when I do play, it's super fun. I think it's a great activity for all ages, and there is going to be a time when I am going to get more into pickleball. I have an employee who he lives, eats, and drinks pickleball. Yeah. He's a young man, and he loves it. So,
well, and that's the thing about pickleball. When I first started playing, I've been playing for 7 years now, or maybe 8. Anyway, when I first started playing, it was pretty much anyone. You had to be, you know, 65 or older right. to even qualify. You go now to the local pickleball course. I played at Vernon Worthen the other day. I would say we were the only ones over the age of 55 in that whole place.
That's awesome.
It was a bunch of young people playing.
Yeah.
And
all ages.
It was a lot of fun. All right, the mayor system in Utah, for the most part, they call them weak mayors. I don't like that word, but they call them weak mayors because they're not. It's not a full-time job being a mayor. Obviously, you have a job. You have a business here in town. Do you like the weak mayor system? Is that something that's going to stay in St. George long-term, do you think? Or do you think someday it will evolve into an actual full-time job? What do you think?
There is some pressure for a full-time mayor, and there's some pros and cons of that. I personally prefer this form of mayorship, and here's why. It takes a person like me who knows what it's like to be out in the community and working. I have a business. I know what it's like to deal with the city and the regulations. I know what it's like to meet budgets. And then I can spend some of my time sharing that expertise at the city level. On the reverse side of that, in my opinion, if we have a full-time mayor, then you have a person that every decision that's being made is based on the fact, are they going to keep their job or not?
Mm.
So that to me, that's where that breaks down. Now, some people say, well, but that gives more, you know, that gives more of us ability to hold somebody's feet to the fire if that's their job, they're the full-time mayor. But we have a great system with a full-time city manager. That city manager answers directly to the city council, and they can hire and fire at will. We have a great city manager right now, John Willis. He does a great job of understanding what the council wants and what the council's direction is, and then carrying that out through staff. He advocates strongly for the things that he thinks we should do, and then he understands what his marching orders are, and he knows how to bring everybody together. And he doesn't ostracize anyone. I think it's a great system. As long as the council and the mayor are doing their job, it works great.
We're talking with Jimmy Hughes, who has been on the city council and is currently running for mayor of St. George. Final question, Jimmy, believe it or not, we already used up almost all of our time.
Goes fast.
How has your job as a city councilman, and you've been city councilman for how long now?
14 years.
Yeah. How has that prepared you to have the ability, the talents, the skills needed to be a mayor?
I've seen the good, bad, and the ugly, Andy. I've been through it. I know some. I've learned some things through that I wish I would have done differently, maybe, and some things that work. One thing that most of all I've learned is that we need to treat each other with respect, civility, and team building is important. We need to work together, and that's something that I've learned over the years, is that we can get political, like the national politics. That is something I've said we cannot do here in local politics. First and foremost, those local things, those local politics are where the rubber meets the road. It's what's important. Get involved, get out and vote. I think my time on the council has prepared me to be in the position of mayor and to help the current council move forward and make St. George win.
Jimmy Hughes, who worth mentioning, Hughes Mortuary here in town. That's your business. And Jimmy has been on the city council for more than a decade, 14 years, is it?
Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of service for our community. I know you did it for the money, that big giant paycheck. Yeah.
No, I love this place, Andy. I love it.
Well, thank you, Jimmy, for coming on today.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a real pleasure, and I wish you the very best. Monday or Tuesday night, we'll start getting those results in, and we'll know who the mayor is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. All right, let's get a weather check in, and we'll be back with Michelle Randall right after this timeout.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Hopefully you're holding on to that ballot and saying, all right, who am I going to vote for today? It's the mayor candidate. Tomorrow it's the city council candidates here on the Andy Griffin Show. So tomorrow we'll have Jamie, Greg, Natalie, and Michelle, the other Michelle. Right now we have this Michelle. Michelle Randall is here.
Good morning,
here.
Hi, Andy. Michelle.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Now, I'm going to ask you, for the most part, pretty much what I asked Jimmy, but the first thing I want to do is maybe kind of let you start off just by telling us a little. Maybe I don't know Michelle Randall. I know she's been mayor, but I don't know anything about it. So maybe tell us about yourself and then kind of what your thoughts are, your platform coming into this election.
So I have been here since 1978. My mom was originally from here.
Okay.
So I am the sixth generation St. Georgian.
Right.
Dixie High School.
So you and Jimmy went to the same school.
Yeah. Okay. And my grandkids are the eighth generation, and I'm fortunate enough to have all of them here. So I married Tony Randall. Tony was born and raised here. I'm the eldest of four children. And then Tony and I had four children. Three out of the four live in Washington County, and all of our 11 grandkids live here.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
They are the best. And our oldest grandson is 16, and then we have 2 3-year-olds. So, yeah, it's crazy that we have a 16-year-old grandson.
Yeah,
it makes me feel old.
My oldest grandbaby's 5, so I'm still learning about that. Yeah.
But they're awesome, and they make work. Living through those teenage years with your kids worth it, you know?
You mean it's good I didn't kill my teenage sons?
That's right.
Okay.
It's good that we just, you know, bit our tongue until it bled and dealt with them. But, no, my kids are great, and they've got great families, and it's the best. I mean, if I have to choose mom and grandma, those titles are the ones that are the very best.
No, I'm with you on that one for sure. All right, tell us a little bit about what you're running on. What is your? I know last time around you won.
I did.
You talked about the Dixie Spirit a lot. What is your kind of your main theme on this election?
So, I haven't been out saying, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this. I'm hoping that what I've done the last 5 years speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
I was appointed mayor in January of 2021 when John Pike left to take a job at the Cox, with the Cox administration for the governor. I was appointed by my colleagues on the city council. They're the ones that
were closest
with you, and they chose me. So that should say a lot. In the last 4 years, I think I've done an amazing job. I have called back every person that's ever called me. I'll give you an example. Yesterday I got a call.
No, I don't do that, Michelle. I'm impressed that you did that.
I do. To today's date, I have made 3,507 phone calls to residents.
That's a lot of calls.
That is a lot of phone calls.
When people say I'm not
accessible, that is a bunch of horse pucky. I am accessible. And so I got a call yesterday from a gentleman. He just moved here just over a year ago. He bought a parade home out in Little Valley. And we have a water conservation ordinance now that all new builds, they, you know, have all of the newest gadgets, but they have to have a hot water circulator on their home. And he said, come to find out, they hooked it up, but they only put it on the furthest bathroom from the house. So all of the other faucets are having to run 2 minutes.
Wastewater.
So I called our water manager, Scott Taylor, and I said, let's get a meeting with our building inspectors. This is something that they have to make sure is done. The builder just can't put it on and say, it's done, taken care of.
So all they're doing, the builders, is just checking the boxes.
This builder.
Yeah, okay.
And he told me who the builder is, and I'm not going to say that. But, yeah, they were checking the boxes. And I also called Zach with the Water Conservancy District and said, this is an issue. And then I called Stacy Young with SUBA, Southern Utah Home Builders Association, right, and said, this needs to be brought up. This is an issue. So I spend time doing those things to get back to our residents and look into the things that mean the most to them. I might not have an answer right away, but I will find that answer for you, and I will point you in the right direction.
All right, there have been people, and I know you've heard them, hey, shut the door. No more growth. Don't let them, don't issue any more things. What do you tell those people, and what do you say to people who say, we just can't have any more growth here. We're running out of water. Stop it.
Well, first I always ask them how long they've been here, and those people have never been here longer than 5 or 10 years.
Uh-oh.
And so we could have shut the door a long time ago. When I moved here, there was 8,000 people. It was a quaint little town, but everybody, you were exporting your children because they didn't have a job.
Yeah.
Now we're exporting them because they can't afford homes, which is another issue. But we have to manage our growth. I think we've done a good job doing that. People will say, you're just issuing building permits left and right. Really, the amount of building permits that are issued in the entire county is about 2,000 a year for homes. And so when you look at that and you really think about that, countywide, and our county's big, that isn't a ton. And you're looking at St. George, maybe 500 homes in a year, and because we are the biggest city, but we have a plan for water. We are looking at a regional reuse system. We have put in place very stringent water conservation measures for new builds. We are not asking anybody who's been here for years and years and years to rip out their grass. We're just saying, do your part and conserve. We have AMI meters. They can look at their meter and see how much water they're using. Those meters will also tell you if you have a leak.
I love it. We have one, yeah.
Yeah, they're great. And people are conserving water. So 7 years ago, in the last 7 years, we've added 8,000 water connections. That's for businesses. That could be a casita. That could be whatever. Up until this year, we've used the exact same amount of water.
Pretty amazing.
And it is pretty amazing. Yeah. And we've done it without being heavy-handed. We've just tried to get the messaging out there, and our residents have responded.
Dixie Spirit, right?
That's right.
All right, let's talk a little bit about traffic. I was talking with Jimmy about this. I'm like, you know, traffic at times can be a little frustrating here, but if you go to State Street in Salt Lake or Redwood Road or one of those, this is nothing. But still, you're starting to notice. You go like up on Red Hills Parkway and 1000 East and some of those kind of pinch points, it gets pretty bad. Will you talk for a minute about traffic, what you think needs to be done, if anything, and then maybe end what you're talking about with the whole Northern Corridor conversation?
So we've expanded 3000 East in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. We expanded 3000 East to 5 lanes, and we've done River Road expansion. We've done Dixie Drive. Now we're working on Gap Canyon Parkway. We're working on the east side of Tech Ridge, down the east side, so right, traffic can flow down that way and not be at a pinch point
at the end of the boulevard.
At the there. Boulevard right yeah. there. And then George Washington Boulevard to expand from Popeye's Chicken all the way over to it's Crosby Way, I-15, Dixie Drive, I-15 okay. right there. But we do need the Northern Corridor. We need a major east-west connector. The Northern Corridor has been on the table since 2009. That was way before I ever ran for city council. We've had congressional hearings. There's been lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. I totally believe that we can protect any tortoise up there and anything else and get that road through. If you don't have that road, you're going to push all the traffic down to the boulevard, Bluff Street into the middle of St. George. Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't want. And so, yes, I am a big proponent of the Northern Corridor. It needs to be built, and it needs to be built yesterday.
All right. Let's now talk about housing affordability. Now, I have five children. Unlike yours, only one of them lives here because I said this earlier, I sometimes don't think it's a housing affordability problem so much as a wage problem here in St. George. You and I have talked about this in the past on the radio. For instance, my one son is an over-the-road trucker. He makes about one-third more total salary by living and working in a Salt Lake than he would make in St. George.
Right.
I'm getting off topic a little bit, but how can we get it so that our kids can live close to us? Is there a magic bean or a secret formula, Michelle?
So one thing I am noticing is wages are increasing here, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But all of my children, they're a two-income family. To have a house, they're a two-income family. I was a stay-at-home mom. I got to stay home and raise all my kids. We were able to live off Tony's income. We were small business owners, and we could do that. That was great. But now my daughters work. My daughters in law work. And so it is the free market is what it is. It's supply and demand. Cities don't build houses. We just don't.
I think that's a misconception. I think a lot of people are like, wow, the city's in charge.
But Cities do not build houses. Yeah. All we can do is cut the red tape and get out of the builder's way. I was talking to a builder here a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I grew up in a 1,200-square-foot home. There was three bedrooms, and there was one boy and three girls. My youngest brother and sister had to share a room until I left the house. My parents still live in that house. Since then, they've added on, and it's nice and roomy and cozy for them. But we don't build homes like that anymore. And this builder said, yeah, because you can't build a 1,200 or 1,400 square foot home when a price of land is going to cost you $100,000 to $150,000.
Yeah.
And so we can't control that. We can't control those prices.
I mean, we've seen apartment buildings go up. Washington City has a whole bunch of them over there on Telegraph. Is that an answer, the answer, or is that getting kind of?
I wish that we could get a way to where if it can't be a home ownership, it could be a condo or a townhome ownership. I think there's pride in ownership.
Definitely, yeah.
And everybody wants that. That's the American dream, to own a home and have a yard and things like that. I would be in favor of looking at smaller homes, manufactured homes. Do a zone where there are manufactured homes. Manufactured homes aren't what they used to be. They look really nice now.
I lived in one once and it was nice.
I know. But they come with all of your wood floors, granite countertops, everything. Even fifth wheels, for crying out loud. And some of them are nicer than homes. But I think as a city, we have zoning that we can look at, and we can look at, you know, just cutting red tape and kind of getting out of the way, not making the process so long so that builders can get in there and get it done and get out.
9:45 on KDXU. I've got to get a commercial break in. We've got a couple of other questions and more thoughts from Michelle Randall, the incumbent running for mayor. Now, the ballots are due November 4th. That's next Tuesday.
Do not mail them at this point.
At this point, yeah. You're not going to want it because it'll go to Vegas and won't get back in time. There'll be all kinds of mess.
It is not at the county building by 8 p.m. next Tuesday, it will not be counted.
Now, the thing about it is, I think this is brilliant. You don't have to go in person to vote, but go put the ballot in the ballot box.
I leave my car running.
Yeah.
I just jump out, I throw it in, and get back in my car and leave.
It's not hard at all. And in a way, you can almost feel like I am voting in person because I'm actually putting the ballot in the box. And the only person that's ever going to touch that is the county auditor, right, and the people that are counting the votes and the computer system. I think it's a brilliant way to do it.
Postmarks don't matter anymore. No, so no. It's too late to mail.
All right. We'll take a break. More with Michelle Randall right after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Final segment here on the Andy Griffin Show. It's Mayor Wednesday. Wait, what happened there? Okay. Well, anyway, the mayor candidates are on. Jimmy Hughes was on the first half hour. Second half hour, it's all been Michelle Randall. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for coming.
How are you, Andy?
Appreciate you being here. I asked Jimmy a little bit about the weak mayor thing, and to me it was just kind of a side question, but I'll ask you about it too. Most of Utah, I think all but like two cities in the whole state use what they call a weak mayor, which is a mayor that doesn't work full time. It's for lack of a better word, it's an avocation, right? Instead of a vocation. Do you like the fact that most of the state, including St. George, uses a weak mayor system? And do you ever see a time when we're going to have like an actual full-time mayor?
There could be that time. I think it's something that the voters have to decide on, but I like the system we have. I like having a city manager. As we both have talked about our health, you know, I am a breast cancer survivor, and for 5 years I had to take a little poison pill every day for five years, and it knocked out my immune system. And there were times I had to miss the meetings. And so it was nice knowing that our city manager has everything covered, and that I could call the mayor pro tem to fill in for me at a meeting. And the city never missed a beat. We have an amazing executive staff that runs each department. I don't have to be an expert in everything. They're the experts. And they do an amazing job with our budget. They do an amazing job responding to our residents. And I get those phone calls of people saying, I had a water leak and your water department came out and they were just so amazing. Or, you know, your parks department, we called because a sprinkler was broke and they were on it like instantly. And so you get those calls. So I like the system we have.
I'm guessing the relationship between the mayor, an elected official, and the city manager has to be a pretty good relationship.
It does.
Because the city manager needs to know what the mayor wants.
We are in constant contact and talking frequently and meeting frequently. And, yeah, and our city manager, John Willis, is doing an amazing job.
All right, let's talk a little bit about, I'm going to say these two words, and I want to get your reaction on the words are Dixie spirit. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to all of us that live here?
So when the pioneers first came here in 1861, imagine how desolate and horrible this place would have been. It would have been gross.
None of these trees were here.
Nothing was here. And those 309 families that were sent here, they all weren't from the same areas. They all didn't speak the same dialect. And they had to work together to make what we're enjoying now. To me, that's the Dixie spirit. It's rolling up your sleeves. It's working together. It's being neighborly. It's being kind. It's helping somebody. When you see somebody stranded on the side of the road with a flat tire, it's pulling over and helping them. Mm. I met a guy a couple weeks ago. He moved here from California. He was a mayor in California, Northern California. He had to get out of there. He said, couldn't raise my kids there anymore. It's turned into a cesspool.
Yeah.
And he said how much he loved the school system here, how safe it felt here, that his kids could go to the park and play, and he wasn't terrified that they were going to the park.
Yeah.
And I think as we grow, we still have that small town feel. And I think that is the Dixie spirit. When the Iron Man was coming in, and they were during COVID, Kona, Hawaii was shut down.
Right.
And it's the first time they've ever left Kona. And they came to St. George. They were looking at Chattanooga, Tennessee as well. They chose St. George. I went to lunch with them and I said to them, why did you pick us? And they said, the people. And I said, that's called the Dixie spirit. And that's what they felt. They felt something different here.
That's kind of what I was saying earlier was, before I lived in St. George, and I've been here along to 31 years, not as long as you, but I've been here a long time. I could feel there was something different, special about this area. And I've lived in other places, Michelle, other, you know, municipalities, if you will, and that this is unique. It's
very unique. Yeah. And I believe it's something special we have here, and we've been able to keep it even with the growth. And we have, you know, we have these big events. We had like three Ironmans that we did in a span of 15 months.
Yeah.
and we have a marathon that is huge. We get volunteers. People come out to volunteer for those kind of things. And in other parts of the nation, it would probably be really hard to pull something off and get the people to volunteer their time to get up super bright and early on a cold morning to go out and hand out waters or whatever they're doing along a route. So I just think that people here, they understand it. People like to go and meet their neighbors when they move in, know who they're living by, say, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. Yeah. You know, we live right here. If you need anything, it is a special place to live.
And that's a good segue, by the way, to my last question. And that's about tourism and the big events. We have, of course, the St. George Marathon, 50 years next year, by the way, and Huntsman World Senior Games. We have Tuacon that brings a lot of tourism. Zion National Park is pretty close. How important is tourism to the city of St. George and specifically as a mayor? How important is it to you?
It is huge because people will come and they will spend their money. And our budget is heavily rely on sales tax. So people come, they drop their money here, and then they go home. And that's what we like. And that's the thing that helps keep our taxes low. The Greater Zion and the county have done a study, and they said without all of the tourism, our taxes would be about $1,200 more per year.
Wow.
And so when you're complaining about the people being here for the senior games for 2 weeks, remember it's saving you money by them being here spending their money.
$1,200, that's
$1,200 a year.
That is not pocket change, folks.
No.
It's
an extra $100
a month. $100
a month,
yeah.
That we're saving by the tourists that come here. And it's a great place to visit. I mean, I was out at the PGA. It was beautiful out there. And there was a ton of people. And almost every legislator from up north had come down for the PGA to see it. Because not everyone has the opportunity to go to a PGA event.
Yeah.
And so they come and they spend their money and then they go back up north. And we do events, we do them well.
We do. It's the volunteer. It's a Dixie Spirit.
It is. Yeah. It's a great place to live. And I just bought new real estate at Tahnaquin Cemetery. So I'm going to be here till the day I die. And then long after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Final 90 seconds, Michelle Randall. Why should someone vote for Michelle Randall for mayor? 90 seconds.
I have a 5-year record of being a good leader. I know how to lead. I show up on time. I am prepared. I am very responsive to every resident that reaches out to me. I am not afraid to call anybody back and to help them with whatever issues they have. And there is a lot of people I've helped over the last 5 years. I enjoy this job. It is a job. I don't have another job that distracts me, which is very good because I've attended 531 meetings this year and returned 2,722 emails. Along with those phone call statistics I've given you. Wow. That is a lot of time spent for a part-time mayor, and I enjoy it. I love this city. I do it for my family. I do it for your family.
Pretty good reason right there. I love this city. It might be the best reason of all, huh?
That is it.
Michelle Randall running for mayor. Now, again, your ballots, you should have them. They were mailed to your house if you're a registered voter. I guess if you have a driver's license, right? You got a ballot in the mail, and hopefully you didn't throw them away, folks. It's not junk mail. This is important mail. You do not want to, at this point, though, trust the mail. I mean, don't mail it in anymore.
Do not mail it in.
It's time now for you to just drop it off in one of the drop boxes.
Yep. There's a drop box at the county libraries and the county administration building right on Tabernacle.
And then, of course, you can actually still vote in person,
right? You can vote in person.
On the 4th, next Tuesday.
There's early voting going on right now. I should have brought the times. I don't have the times down at the Dixie Center. But on Tuesday, you can vote in person at the Dixie Center all day.
All right. Michelle, best of luck to you.
Thank you, Andy.
We'll have you or your opponent on next Thursday as the mayor on Mayor Tuesday.
Well, I'll still be the mayor next Thursday.
That's true.
All right.
That's a good point. Okay. All right. Thank you, Michelle.
All right. See ya. Bye-bye.